This is the Value Investor Podcast with Tracy Reinick. All things value, all the time.
If you're like me, you may like reading investment books. There are always a few new ones out every year, and there's a handful of books that I like that I consider some of the best investing books. So it's kind of rare to get a new one that's good, but I like to look at them and see what's coming on the market. And recently I saw a review in the New York Times of two new investing books. One was called The Truth About Your Future, The Money Guide You Need Now, Later, and Much Later by Rick Edelman. And if you don't know him, you might know him because Rick has written several investing books throughout the years. So this is just adding another one on top of his. But the second book was of interest to us value investors because it was called Money Machine, The Surprisingly Simple Power of Value Investing. And it's by a Pomona College economics professor, Gary Smith. So, you know, that one really sucked me in because I'm like, ooh, a new value book. I always like to see what's going on with those. And as I've said before on the podcast, the small cap value in general, small cap value has outperformed growth over the long haul. But there have been periods, sometimes years, when growth has been better. We're kind of in one of those right now where small cap value has underperformed for the prior, it's got to be at least 3 out of the last 4 years. I think last year it did, because they had that nice surge at the end of the year, finally overtake the growth. But it's been slow going and slim pickings over the last couple of years as growth has really kind of kicked its butt here. But again, it goes in cycles. And, you know, I would expect small cap value to rise to the forefront again, maybe sometime soon. So the title of this book and the argument that it makes about paying, you know, a cheap price for earnings, all of this is kind of known to us. We know that the power of value investing is strong, and that's why we do it. That's why we like it. But as the New York Times review said, one of their critiques of this book was that it solely focused on value, and it emphasized, well, you know, Warren Buffett does it. He's only bought value for his entire career, and look at his success. But we always just talk about Warren Buffett, and there are a few other big prominent value investors who've been value investing for decades, but not that many. So you have the slim field to pick from of people who are successfully value investing, and that's because it's hard. That's because you do have to have patience and wait years or sometimes decades for your picks to come to fruition. And a lot of people can't wait that long. They don't have the patience. So that's why it's hard to be a value investor. But there is also an argument to be made that investors should be diverse. And the New York Times reviewer basically was arguing that the book was a one-hit wonder of value investing, like that's all you should do. But maybe betting on just one horse, just value, could be kind of dangerous for those of us who are just kind of regular investors, that we shouldn't put all our eggs into one basket and we should be more diverse. So a regular value investor would ask, what am I willing to pay for those earnings? And usually it's pretty cheap, but what if I'm willing to pay a little bit more? So if you follow me on Twitter or StockTwits, you probably already know that I own shares of Facebook. And I often get asked on Twitter, how can you own Facebook when you're a value investor? Because obviously Facebook is not a value stock. It's a growth stock. And I've owned it for a couple of years. And while I love value stocks and I love getting stocks on the cheap, which is one of the hallmarks of value investing, there is a part of me, like in my DNA, that likes the growth story. I've come to terms with that, and I've figured out that that's okay. It's okay to like the growth too. And that as a value investor, it's okay to have some growth plays in my portfolio. So in the portfolio where I own Facebook, I also own the Vanguard Small Cap Value ETF, which I've talked about in the past. That ticker is VBR. So I own both the growth and the value in the same portfolio because I'm trying to be diverse. And I do have this little itch for the value stocks. So my value needs are still well covered in buying one of these, you know, small cap ETFs, which I've covered in other podcasts. And I get to get some of my growth components out of my system with the Facebook. So my advice to value investors is really to go ahead and own Facebook. Yes, I'm saying it. Or any other FANG stock. or just the non-FANG high growth names. I own a couple of those as well. So I give you permission as value investors to buy some growth. And don't feel guilty. Be diverse. Think of it as, you know, adding just another area of the market that you might not cover with the value. Same way as if I wouldn't recommend being in all small caps, that you should have a mixture of small, medium, and large. And that covers you for when we go through these cycles where one area is doing better than the other, as we've also seen in the cap sizes. The large caps have outperformed the small caps over the last couple of years as well. So I've always said I want to own the best companies, and sometimes those just aren't the values. But what about the value and the growth component? I've talked about this on other podcasts as well, that that's a rare combination, but it's super powerful if you can get both value and growth. I'm not getting the value with Facebook or any of the other FANGs, so that's a pure growth play. But what if I could, and you can with a stock like Apple, that's a value, plus you're getting some growth there. But other than Apple, what are some other stocks that have that kind of rare combination? I looked again because it's been a while since I covered these, and obviously things are changing all the time in the stock market. So I looked for stocks with PEs under 15, and then I looked for earnings growth over 10%. So I'm getting growth in the earnings and the value. And then I did look for Zacks rank of number ones or number twos, because I do want those rising earnings estimates. And I do think that's important too. If you're going to buy the growth stocks, look for, you know, higher Zacks rank, look for earnings growth. If you're going to pay a lot, you want to get the earnings that you're getting more for your money then. You want to make sure you're getting that double-digit earnings growth if you're going to pay more for it, which is the growth kind of scenario. So, but here I'm also looking for that, and I'm getting those number ones and twos. And I found four interesting stocks that many of you probably heard of that fit this equation. So these are ones that you should definitely be keeping on your radar, because as a value investor, you're not rejecting the value core because you're still getting the value. And then you're also getting the growth. So I love that because it feeds my little growth desires there. And so let's get right to it. The first stock just reported, and all of you know it, it is Bank of America, as a PE of 12.9, and it's supposed to grow earnings about 17%. The ticker is BAC. I've talked about the banks on prior podcasts as well. I'll probably cover them again because they have pulled back off their highs, and I consider them even more of a value here and a buying opportunity, because as those interest rates rise, so will their earnings. Some of the big banks also have other business besides just the lending. They have the trading wings and all these other things, mortgages that are huge amounts of their business. So you do have to keep that in mind when you're investing in some of the bigger banks, but I definitely really love those small banks. Maybe I'll do a podcast just on small bank value stocks coming up soon after they all report here on this earnings season. So Bank of America is the first one, BAC. Then you should check out Huntsman. They're a chemical company based out there in Utah. Ticker is HUN. You could get this really cheap. I owned it a couple of years ago in the Insider Trader when the oil plunge happened, and a lot of the chemical companies plunged at the same time the oil did. And it was trading at 7 times or something, 4 times earnings. I knew I should have bought it then, but I didn't buy. It was under $10. It's over $20 now, but it's still actually pretty cheap. It's trading with a PE of 12.7, and earnings growth is expected to be 18%. So if you're looking for a chemical play, you might want to keep Huntsman on your radar. Third stock is cashing in on those travel things that are going on, and everybody seems to be traveling because they have a lot of spending money, and it's Royal Caribbean. I used to own this in the value investor portfolio, actually, but we finally sold out after owning it for a couple of years. I still like it. Maybe I should reconsider getting back in this one. The ticker is RCL. It's trading with a PE of only 13.7, and it has earnings growth of 15.5. You know, they're one of the premier cruise liners out there. So I like them because I like their position in both Europe. They're big in the European market and also in China. And this year in Alaska is expected to be the busiest cruise season ever in Alaska, and demand is super high for the Alaska trips. So should be good for Royal Caribbean. And then our fourth stock is Pilgrim's Pride. These are the largest chicken producer in the U.S. The ticker is PPC. Their PE is just 11, and they're expected to grow earnings 20%. Now, you do have to watch out about poultry prices and even like feed prices, like corn and all that with this area. And then you do have some issues if there's like, you know, a bird flu outbreak and things can affect them possibly. So you got a lot of different things brewing with the chicken and even just the other, you know, meat producers and stuff. But if you're looking in this area, it's pretty affordable right here. And that ticker is PPC. So let's just recap the stocks again. Bank of America, BAC, Huntsman, HUN, Royal Caribbean, RCL, and then the Pilgrim's Pride at PPC. And these are all both value and growth stocks. But in addition, if you're going to add a little bit of growth, you know, FANG is out there and some of the other high growth names. We all know who they are. I've talked about them, like Chipotle, Priceline, some of those. A lot of tech stocks have the higher valuations, but they also have the higher growth. So as a value investor, don't feel like you are abandoning your philosophy necessarily, but you are creating a more diverse portfolio by adding some growth in there along with your value picks. And there is always value around, as I've said, and I just gave you four great value stocks, names that most people have heard of. So value is out there. And even though the market still remains around all-time highs, I'm still finding it. And, you know, I'll be back again next week with more value stocks, of course. You can check out our other podcasts, and I do encourage people to do that, especially the ones where I have talked about buying the ETFs, the small cap value ETFs. That's a good place to start as a value investor because you do get a broad bucket of value stocks all in one place. And as I said, I own one of them and I like to add to it. So that's a good place to start. So definitely check out that podcast and, you know, a lot of our other ones that are still holding up well, including those bank stocks. And I'll be revisiting that topic probably, like I said, coming up soon after they all report, and we'll see if there's still value there. But until next week, be sure to check out all of these, and I'll see you then.